From the live stream studios in Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Negler, and with me, as always, is my co-host with the mo-host, my partner here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Behnke. And joining us, directing our live blog, is the esteemed Ryan Caravu, along with Jamie Jors and John Rahor from our fan blog, Eat More Cheese, as well as the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere. Corey Behnke, tell us, what is on tap tonight?
Joining us later tonight, longtime friend of the show, from ESPN Milwaukee, the co-host of Green and Gold Today, and the number one Packers sports yapper, Mr. Jason Wilde will be joining us tonight.
Woohoo!
But first, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Clay Matthews.
The Predator is back.
Tremon.
INTs raining down.
Chucky.
Charles, don't call him Chuck Woodson.
And we got the bad. We got JerMichael Finley.
Dropping passes.
James Jones.
Dropping passes and running wrong routes.
Jordy Nelson.
Dropping passes.
And we got the ugly, DJ Smith in coverage.
Which, admittedly, he's... Okay, so a lot's been made of DJ Smith being bad in coverage, including myself on the good, bad, the ugly. However, going back and watching the coach's tape, you know, he's matched up against Matt Forte a couple times, the tight end a couple times. Those are, you know, that's a tough assignment. So I'm going to give DJ a little break here. Maybe you shouldn't have been in the ugly. Probably just in the bad. But I like the symmetry of having all three receivers in the bad as Corey escapes out of the pocket like Aaron Rodgers to check the camera. That's how we roll here. Corey, at any time, could get up and go do something while I'm talking. That's how we like to do it as he adjusts. And I love that maybe you, you know, got in the shot there and adjust your mic. And, you know, that's how we do it. So yes, a big Packer victory on Thursday Night Football. It does feel like it was like a month ago that they played. It's a little weird on Thursday nights. I don't like that because you have their Thursday night game. You're all pumped up. Big win. And then you have kind of a down on Friday, Saturday. And then it's Sunday, it's football again. And then, wait, the Packers aren't playing. So, yeah, 1-1, big Packer victory. But can we still, let's just dive right into, I think, what is concerning Packers fans the most after two games. Eight quarters of play. What's going on with Aaron Rodgers in the offense? What do you think there, Corey Behnke?
I don't think there's anything to worry about.
What do you think is up?
I just think we're warming up, baby.
Well, you saw Mike McCarthy said they're close.
Dude, Cedric Benson.
Aaron Rodgers said they're close.
That was amazing. Cedric Benson. That was some good stuff.
I don't know if it was amazing. It was a serviceable running back.
We have
a
running back who can catch the ball.
It was nice. It was nice.
Out of the front field and out of the flat and out of the everywhere you want to catch the ball.
I liked what I saw. It was good. It was some progression.
What about Tom Crabtree, people?
How about friend of show, Tom Crabtree?
Wearing the shirt.
National television.
That was nice.
It was great because Carolyn got up, and as she got up to get up, she was about to walk out of the room to go check on the kids, and you know, because it's a field goal, it's like, all right, he makes it or he misses it, whatever. And then all of a sudden, I said, oh my! And then she came running back into the room. I said, Tom Crabtree just scored a touchdown. It was a beautiful thing. You gotta love that. Of course, now Tom will never come on this show again.
Nope.
It's too big time now.
Yeah.
You know, he's got his own show in Appleton now on Tuesday nights. He's got Peter King calling him after the game. No time for us. No time for the little people anymore.
No.
But we understand, Tom. We know where you got your start. We know where your roots are. It's all good.
I feel like if I drink the rest of this minimal amount of beer, I'll forget that, and I stop thinking about whether we went back far enough.
Oh, God, that's good. Okay, the thing with Rodgers and the offense, to me, is that, yes, they have been a little out of sync. But mostly that is because they have played very good defenses, and they have dropped passes. All right? They will continue to face good defenses, including Monday night in Seattle. Wake up, Packer fans. This is a good defense.
It just gets
better.
The
Packers are going up against.
It just gets better.
But the offense should improve.
It should. It just gets better.
It will help greatly if they catch the ball. It will help greatly if they catch the ball. But be that as it may, let's get down to brass tacks. Let's talk about what Packer Nation is in a frenzy about.
Oh, man.
A frenzy. Is JerMichael Finley's agent tweeting about Aaron Rodgers. My goodness. This could not have gone, like, more ridiculously viral if they had planned it as, like, a campaign to get Blake Bortles, or whatever how the hell you say his last name. If he wanted pub and, like, any press is bad press is just press,
there
and that's
no
good.
There's
no such thing as bad press, blah, blah, blah. If they had planned it, they couldn't have done any better. But can we just slow down on the Finley's agent rips Rodgers motif? Come on, Packer fans. Come on, NFL media. Come on, Green Bay Packers beat writers. You're better than this. All of you. Now I've got Adam Schefter on my television on Wednesday afternoon talking about Finley's agent rips on Rodgers. Come on.
You get to watch television on Wednesday afternoon?
I work at Bleacher Report. Well, ESPN's on and all on the office.
Oh, man.
But come on, people. So, for those of the two of you, of the four of you who watch the show, the two of you who do not know what's going on here, Jermichael Finley's agent responded to someone on Twitter. He didn't even tweet it, like, generally. He just responded. He was having a conversation with someone. He responded to someone. Aaron Rodgers is not a great leader. To paraphrase.
Why would you say that?
Because you're wrong, and you've got an opinion, and you're absolutely wrong. He is wrong. Aaron Rodgers is a great leader.
QB1.
Right after it happened, I had a bunch of people tweet me, do you agree with Blake Bortles about Aaron Rodgers? Do you agree? I was like, no, I don't agree. But he's allowed to tweet it, people, especially in response to someone he's having a conversation with. But then, of course, it gets retweeted and retweeted. Henry tweeted, and then all of a sudden, USA Today is picking it up. ESPN is picking it up. Everyone's at the locker availability talking about it. Was it Desmond Bishop's agent? And that's the other thing that drives me insane about this. Because it's Jermichael Finley's agent, but it's Desmond Bishop's agent too. But because it's connected to Jermichael Finley, we've got to blow it up into a Finley thing. When it's got absolutely nothing. No thing to do with Jermichael Finley. Oh, but it's Finley. Oh, whenever Finley's around, oh, bad things happen. Bad things. Finley's like Gollum at this point.
They got to get web views.
Finley is like Gollum.
They got to get
whenever you there's Finley involved, it's like, oh, Finley, Finley. Oh, everyone turns it. Finley like turns people into fucking lunatics. Finley had nothing to do. Nothing to do with it. But you all are out there, oh, Finley. Bill Johnson, co-host of Green and Gold Today, co-worker with our guest later this evening, Mr. Jason Wilde, wrote a blog post about how it was time for the Packers to trade Finley. And then he was tweeting to Finley this morning how it was time for Finley to fire his agent. And then he was tweeting to the agent telling him to shut up. Give me a break. Give me a humongous break. It has nothing to do with Finley. It has nothing to do with leadership. It has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. It's one guy tweeting to one other person. And now I'm done. That's it.
I think that was the best Twitter play-by-play on Packer transplants of all time. I got to give that.
I need a swig of Nuglaris after that one.
Have some of that Wisconsin water. There you go. Oh, I'm glad we're not muted.
Freaking ridiculous. All right.
I'm glad people got to hear that and we weren't muted.
All right, so where were we? Okay, well, okay, so
we were
coming
talking
out
about
of this.
Finley.
So I'll come, wait. So coming
Finley,
out of,
Finley had a good game.
He had a good game. He had the drop down the seam and he had the fumble. But it's Charles Tillman who makes
Still
everyone
had
fumble.
A good game,
he had a good game. I agree.
I know I'm positive Nelly.
You are. But like, so
dude, it's the beginning of the season.
I know.
Anybody who's a negative Nelly the first quarter of the season,
you got issues. You got problems.
You're not a diehard.
But also, so out of this, of course, comes the whole, like, the thing about Rodgers yelling at James Jones, which is, of course, what, like, prompted this whole discussion. During the game, obviously, James Jones, as you probably saw during the broadcast or have read about, ran a particularly horrible route on the interception. It was pretty clear he was supposed to come straight across, and he kind of drifted up and blah, 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 blah. Rodgers was seen on camera berating him afterwards, and then, oh, gosh, that's what prompted Aaron Rodgers as a bad leader and all this stuff. Now, first of all, Aaron Rodgers is a great leader. He led them to a freaking Super Bowl. The only person this team looks up to more is Charles Woodson, as far as players go. Aaron Rodgers is the leader of the Green Bay Packers. He knows the team better than anybody else. Anyone saying otherwise doesn't know what the hell they're talking about, including Blake Bortles, however you say his name. So now Rodgers has said he's apologized to James Jones, and James Jones has said Rodgers didn't need to apologize. Of course he didn't need to apologize. Did anyone watch Steve Young play back in the day? Has anyone ever watched any other great quarterback? Has anyone watched Dan Fouts play back in the day? These guys yell at their teammates when they make mistakes in the heat of the battle. It's fine. Is it the best optics? Is it great television? No. But it doesn't mean he's a bad leader. He knows who can take it. He knows who deserves it. And Jones deserved it on that play.
Some people just need tough love, too.
This is true.
But it's tough love.
You give me tough love. Mm. Like, before the show, when I forget to do something, you yell at me, and I know I deserve it, and then we move on. It's very similar. And I want you to I want you to recognize that in this scenario, you're Aaron Rodgers and I'm James Jones. I'm giving you major credit here.
I would agree with that. You have to have the kind of relationship, though. I doubt that Jay Cutler has that relationship.
Well, and that's the other thing, because it happened in the same game where Jay Cutler was seen yelling at his offensive lineman for sucking and then bumping him on the sideline. I mean, a Twitter follower of mine pointed out to me a very good point. He said, I said, well, you think James Jones is going to say anything else? I mean, even if it were true that, Rodgers was in the wrong, do you think James Jones is going to say anything else? And he said, well, I don't see anyone coming to Cutler's defense on his team. Very good point, sir.
It's true.
Very good point. So, let's move on from all this nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
Our quick take on that today.
Sometimes you just have to get in and out of Twitter. You don't need to be, staying all in the pool.
Nice.
The cesspool, as it were.
So remember back to last week? Last week on this here show.
Yeah.
We were discussing a whole bunch
when
of stuff.
When I said we would win.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we did. So then right after we got done, literally less than 30 minutes after we got done, Bob McGinn dropped a post or an article.
The
Packers would be wise to trade Greg Jennings.
Those are why Wednesday nights are so good, because it seems weird.
We finish
the show, and some kind of news does break.
Always uses it.
That's not breaking news, just Bob McGinn.
But Bob McGinn's a respected voice. But in this case, he's clearly insane. Now, come on. Trade Greg Jennings. You're a Super Bowl contender. He's your best wide receiver. I don't care what anyone says. Now, will he walk at the end of the year? Will they franchise him? That will play out. But you don't trade one of your best players in the middle of the year when you are a Super Bowl contender, which the Green Bay Packers most certainly are.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. How many people read Bob McGinn last Wednesday night?
Yeah.
That probably never read Bob McGinn.
I don't know about that. The country, spread like wildfire.
And Packer fans, Packer fans and stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
That's what he's good at, dude.
Yeah, that's true.
Getting the views.
Oh, dear.
Getting the reads.
I like Max Ginsburg on the live blog here. Bob who? Never heard of him. I only read Brian Caribou articles. Good point, Max.
There you go. I only read Aaron Nagler articles.
Well, then you're not reading very much these days. I only do video now.
You do the good, the bad, and the ugly.
That's true. And my gut reactions.
Gut reactions.
That's it. That's what I do.
You never stop doing.
You know what's funny is that last night I came really close to writing a whole diatribe about the whole Finley tweet thing, but then I just stopped myself because I said it's just not worth it.
You really should have though.
I figured I'd get it all out here tonight. I knew I didn't need to.
Maybe you should just do a post highlight of your rant and then just write it out.
There we go. Yes, and transcribe it. That'll be good. All right, so let's get into some news around the Packer world here. Tim Massey, receiving NFC Special Teams Player of the Week, came out earlier today. Well-deserved. And let me just point something out here, because this is going, everyone's, including PFT, who, Mike Florio, lifelong Vikings fan, can't help but get a little digging on the Packers or anything good that happens with the Pack.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't tell.
Including ripping Aaron Rodgers for not signing a cancer patient's autograph when he had done it the week before and trying to, troll
for it. Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. Everyone wants to talk about, he's getting it because he had the little flip touchdown to Tom Crabtree. No. If you watch the game, if you know anything about football, Florio, which, it's 50-50.
He did sell Pro Football Talk.
The case is out here. If you watch the game, And if you watch any of the games against Chicago in the last couple years, Tim Massey has relegated Devin Hester to a non-entity, to a complete afterthought. I mean, think about it. I mean, Hester used to kill us. Kill us. Back in early 2010, I think, the third week, week three of 2010, he had a return against Massey. And since then, he's been absolutely shut down. Massey is brilliant at just keeping off the coverage obviously is there. But a good part of it is where he puts it in the corner. He has lots of directional punting, and he just does a fantastic job. Not a lot of punters can say they totally negate a special teams advantage of the Chicago Bears, which has been a staple of the Lovie Smith's team for a long time.
It's true.
So, well-deserved, Tim Massey. You were on the show once. I doubt you'll ever come on again, but thank you for coming on that one time.
They come on when they think it's Cheesehead TV and that's a television station. If you can get them in on that angle,
right.
Get them in
if we can get enough people to pester them on Twitter early in their career, they'll come on.
Yep.
That's kind of how we do it.
Early and young.
Oh, dear. So, speaking of players of the week, Clay Matthews, robbed. Should have been defensive player of the week.
That's true.
I mean, I understand he played on Thursday, so he probably all forgot about it.
I would rather him get 32 sacks for the season, though.
I'll take that. Hey, he's got 6 on the year so far?
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it. It's all right. But you just know people are going to start putting,
But they knew that before, though.
Fullbacks. They may have, but they weren't playing like it.
Then you got Nick Perry.
They were putting Jamarcus Webb one-on-one on a whole lot of plays.
A.J. Hawk had a good game after a not-so-great game the first
week. It's funny. You know, he has struggled in a couple areas, but overall, we'll go back and watch the coach's tape. He has played pretty well the first two games, especially against Chicago. That screen that he sniffed out, that was a big-time play. Big-time play. People talk about he doesn't make impact plays. That was an impact. That was a big-time play. So, because if he doesn't make that play, Forte or I can't remember if it was Forte or Michael Bush is gone. I mean, he's got 20 yards in front of him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I understand. And I've been a frequent critic of A.J. Hawks. His, you know, propensity to sit there and wait for a guy to make a move and come to him when all he needs is, 3 yards for a first down. And A.J. Hawks says, okay, come to me, get the first down, and then I'll tackle you. That drives me insane. But I have been probably too harsh on A.J. I wanted to give him a little credit. He's played pretty well, all things considered. And then other news around the NFL, RIP to Steve Sable. I mean, here's a guy, he's a legend. If you're watching this program, I think you're geek enough to know who he is. If you're not, he followed in his father's footsteps in the realm of NFL films. He coined the term frozen tundra, which we obviously still throw around today. You know, he and his dad shot the Ice Bowl. You know, he's responsible for just tons of iconic imagery, tons of iconic sounds, as far as you think of John Fassada. The original voice of NFL films, all of that. It's just, he was an innovator. He is responsible for a lot of, the way we watch football, the way we're hooked into the drama of it. He'll be sorely missed, and I really hope NFL Films continues on and it never forgets his legacy because he was a true pioneer.
The classic shot on film, still shot on film to this day, of they just have a camera guy sitting on every pass, and he goes from the quarterback to the ball, takes the ball all the way until it gets a touchdown. And that's his only job.
Right.
And that's the Sables and NFL film and finding out how do you make this organic movement and see the entire play. And they can do the certain places in slow motion. It's all the way that they built techniques to shoot football that are completely different from television broadcasting.
Yes.
And are just... film, they're just cinematic. They're really amazing.
Well, if you go back...
really amazing.
And
it's not just the guy's voice and the guy's voice.
No, it was the guy's voice. What's funny is I had a good friend of mine who used to be with the AP, is now a retired sports writer, but he talked about how, John Fassenda, never didn't know anything about football, knew nothing about it. And Steve Sable just wrote all the words and just said, here, talk. Read what I wrote. And then you just put it in, the autumn wind is a raider. Steve Sable wrote all that. I mean, that's pretty incredible when you think about how many people know those, the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. How iconic that imagery.
I've only heard it 100 million times in my life.
So, he's a true innovator. And but I'm sure he will go into the, this is unfortunate. That's unfortunate. Garda has an obsession. Andrew Garda, one of our contributors here, a co-worker of mine at Bleacher Report, one of his new pastimes is doing screen captures of me and calling me Beaker or telling people to caption it. Garda, I don't know what this fetish is about, trying to screen capture me.
Beaker, though. I bet you...
Just screen capture that, son.
Nobody saw it.
That's good. That's a good thing. Here, wait. Here, I got something for Garda. Yeah. Screen capture this. There you go. Hey, there you go.
Wow.
So anyway, we're off script.
It's not a kid's show anymore.
Was it ever?
Yeah.
I don't know. Hopefully my daughter isn't watching.
I know your daughter has watched it before.
She has, but she's...
So you just flicked your daughter off.
She is sick in bed. She's okay. Been sick all day, so...
Get better.
Get better, Madeline. And if you're watching this, you...
Go to bed.
Go to bed. Oh, Lord. So we've got a whole... we've got to go through the offense and the defense, but Wildy is going to be a little late. Later than usual for our guests tonight. So maybe we should go to a break now.
Okay.
And then come back on the other side, talk some offense, defense, and then talk to Wildy.
Okay.
Sound good?
Let's do it.
All right. You're watching Packer Transplants. Stick around. So let's talk a little offense.
Okay.
So a little... I think Aaron Rodgers' inner clock needs to speed up, as it were. People are asking what's wrong, what's going on, why is, he's not escaping the pocket as much. I think when you've seen him do it, I think teams have kind of figured out the thing is stunt outside. You saw the Bears do that a couple times. So he's kind of like tried to escape outside, and there's been a guy waiting for him, and he gets sacked.
Mm-hmm.
One time against the Bears, there was a clear lane for him to step into and step up into and probably get run for 10 yards. But he tried to double back and go outside, and there was a guy waiting for him. I just think his inner clock needs to speed up. He's got to get back to, where we've seen him in his MVP time, where he's like, 1, 2, 3, okay, I'm gone.
Do you think that's just like personnel groupings and, he's just not as comfortable with everybody?
Well, the only real difference is Jeff Saturday being there, and that shouldn't affect anything.
Jeff Saturday, maybe Cedric Benson.
Cedric Benson is
the rookies.
Could be an issue.
I guess they're not playing
They're not
much,
playing on offense that much. But you bring up a good point about maybe the so much use of the no huddle and the up-tempo offense. Maybe he's just, I don't know, there's something there. If you watch it on tape, when you compare it to last year, it just seems like last year he would hit his drop or hit his steps back out of the shotgun, read, and then he'd go. It was like that whole 2.5-second clock thing that they did in training camp. Mm-hmm. But now it seems like he's really back to the holding the ball too long thing, which is easily correctable. And I think he probably will do that, obviously, because he is a pro and he's one of the greatest quarterbacks in the game today. But that, if you're looking for...
And he's sitting there watching tape of people pointing it out.
Exactly. But that's the thing. If,
it's old.
People are looking for what's wrong, what's off. That's one of them. The other thing is all of a sudden this weird idea of throwing it over the middle. You saw, Briggs almost have the interception. That was a very Aaron Rodgers-like throw. The one against the 49ers, you could kind of excuse because Jennings was in the seam going, hey, and you just didn't see the linebacker. He kind of... thought, oh, there he is, boom. He rarely does that. That's a very, I don't know, that I could kind of understand. The one against the Bears that was dropped, Briggs, that I didn't get it. That was very un Aaron Rodgers-like. So it'll be interesting to see if that keeps up because that didn't seem very Aaron Rodgers at all. The other thing I wanted to mention about the offense, you just mentioned him, Cedric Benson. You got to think he's going to see the ball more and more as the year goes on because you saw how the offense kind of opened up against the Bears. The Bears were keeping two safeties back. Traditionally, Mike has refused to try and run that ball up in there when those two safeties are back. He's always trying to let Aaron throw it on the quick slant, whatever, which has kind of disappeared from the Packers' offense, the quick slant. I mean, two years ago, he was making a living with that with Driver, and now he just hardly ever does it.
Yeah, but I think that's more of teams game planning for it and thinking of things in quarters.
That's a good point.
You can't play call. It's kind of like directing live video. You can't just do the same formulaic thing because people just figure you out, and you have to be like, okay, here's where I want to be by the third hour, or by the second hour, or by the third quarter of the season. Where it's like, especially if that's the money, that the slants.
Right. What really works.
What works.
But you know they're going to try and take it away.
All of a sudden, I didn't do it for four games, and now I'm doing it.
And what's interesting, too, is the insertion of Randall Cobb and kind of expanding his role has really kind of taken on that lightning strike, so to speak.
Oh, my goodness, Randall Cobb.
My favorite play was the...
Randall Cobb makes me so happy. Even week one, he made me happy. And week two, he made me even happier.
I loved the play where they had Randall Cobb lined up next to Rodgers in the shotgun, and then they tossed it to him. That was the Deshaun Winn play that went for a touchdown week 16 against the Lions a couple years ago. I love that play. But I love Randall Cobb running
it. Is that the one I call the mini sweep? Yeah,
yes,
the mini sweep.
The mini sweep. Because when Deshaun Winn did it, Darren College rolled over, came over on a pull. And this one, they didn't even bother to pull anybody because they knew Cobb's too fast. He's just going to go. But it was great. Love
that play.
Love it.
I would bet a lot of money we see that.
Yes. I think we'll see it once or twice as the year goes on.
And we'll see the fake of that.
Yep. Kind of this and then back over here. I like it. Speaking of similar... We'll see similar looks from Seattle that we saw from the 49ers. It's going to be a tough game. You can expect that Seattle secondary to sit back in a cover two shell until McCarthy shows that he's willing to run it early and often to get him out of it. Will Mike go down that road? That's the question. You never know with Mike. I don't know. We'll see.
No.
Yeah, that's kind of my worry. Especially in that stadium. That stadium is no joy. No fun. No fun to play there.
I'm not afraid of that stadium. They're just mad because the Supersonics went away, and it was a travesty. And now they have no team but the Seahawks.
That works.
I like Seattle, though. It's a really nice town.
That should be our bump.
And no, I'm not welcome.
I am
a New Yorker who said I hate all New York teams.
This is true.
In the New York Daily News. And the Post.
That's a great quote.
There you go.
All-time great quote. Now switching over to the defensive side of the ball. The whole key to this game, to me, the whole thing comes down to, can the Packers get Seattle in third and long? That's it. If they can do that enough times, they'll win the game. Because their whole game is running the ball on first and second down, getting in manageable down and distance, third and three or shorter for Russell Wilson. Because that's it. The last two games, that's what they've done. That's what they're going to do. Guess who they started at right tackle the last two games, Corey Behnke? I only ask you this because I know you don't keep up on personnel throughout the league, and you probably could care less who they've played at right tackle until I tell you who it is.
I don't care.
Breno Giacomini.
There you go.
Breno Giacomini.
Former Packer. I knew it was going to be a former Packer. I didn't know how deep I had to go.
Now, remember.
Brian probably knows that.
He probably does. Now, but remember this.
Everybody knows
last
that.
Last game. Now, Okung is supposed to be back against the Packers. But you know who started at left tackle against the Cowboys? Frank Omiyale. He of the horribleness of the Chicago Bears for the last couple years. I mean, Frank Omiyale is trash. He's terrible. Terrible. And guess how many sacks DeMarcus Ware had against the Seahawks? Zero. Frank Omiyale, Breno Giacomini, no sacks for DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah, we got.
Think about that.
Yeah,
Packer
think about
fans.
This. Think about Clay Matthews. You need to back off, Bleacher Report. You need to back off,
there is
son.
There is this. I was saying
this. What is your problem?
I was saying this when I was with Cheesehead TV exclusively. I don't hear this.
I don't want to hear about DeMarcus Ware had issues. I got something for you.
But can I explain why he had issues, or you just want to yell Clay Matthews at me?
No, but that was fun.
Because they were able to get in third and short, and they kept it tight formations, which negated DeMarcus Ware. Wherever he was, they would either run away from him, boot away from him. They only needed 3 yards, so they throw a pass to the fullback, throw a little screen, throw a little check down, and no DeMarcus Ware. That's my point.
Yeah, but in this case,
that's my point.
Clay Matthews is going to intercept the ball. He will get in front of you. He will do what he needs to do. That's what happens.
That's cogent analysis.
You think that you're going to do all X, those y, little Z, things,
right?
And then all of a sudden, you've got him in your face. You're like, what? I know he's there, but there's nothing I can do, Aaron.
I'm just saying, as I want to do on this program.
I'm just saying.
That is their whole game. If they can get Russell Wilson in third and long, they will take him down and they will win the game. That's it. Everything else is immaterial. Getting Seattle into third and long. You do that enough times, you'll win.
Yeah. And Tremont Williams picking the ball.
We can just shut down now. We can just turn off the girl. We don't even need to talk to Wildy. Because that's it.
And Tremont Williams getting some picks.
Well,
you know
we
I
like those.
That.
Oh, well, you know, and now we've already gone over everything else on my list. Because I was going to say, on the defensive segment, we already jumped to earlier in the last part of the program, A.J. Hawk played a much better game than people think. So, you know.
So I forgot to read the rest of the script, I guess. I jumped ahead.
It's all right. So, Jason Wilde, if you're watching, now is the part of the script where you call. So anytime you want to jump in, it's fine.
No. There's something you're missing.
Oh, lay it on me. You don't even know what you're doing.
Nope, I don't. But I do now.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right, it's the return of the venerable series. This week in the Packers Blogosphere.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think of that, Corey Behnke?
I liked it.
So, everybody, I know we've inundated you. It's the last time because it's next week. Or no, we'll do it one more time, won't we?
Yep.
Next Sunday.
Throwback weekend.
A week from Sunday. Throwback weekend. All weekend long in Green Bay. Pocket Doppler. Cheesehead TV. Party for Packer fans extraordinaire.
New Glarus beer.
New Glarus beer flowing.
Oh, I'll have some.
Check
I'll
have the website.
My own private stash.
So somebody tweet out the link.
As soon as
Throwback
I get
Weekend
there,
has actually its own Twitter handle.
Yeah.
It has its own website.
Website.
It's off the hook.
Facebook event?
I don't know. I can't handle all this newfangled technology. This is too much for me. I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
Sad part is I won't be there.
Oh, Nagler.
I won't be there.
Say it ain't so, Nagler.
It's true. I won't be there. 2 years in a row. I'll get there eventually. But this year, got to miss it again. Family stuff, it happens. But next year, maybe. But Corey Behnke will be there.
I'll be there.
It'll be
good times.
Point, my friends.
It's going to be good times.
I'm
going to get to see a lot of things I never got to see before, which I'm really excited about.
A lot of things you never got to see before.
I never got to eat at Chives.
Oh, my goodness.
I never got to.
Maybe you'll run into Aaron Rodgers, one of his favorite establishments.
I mean, there isn't really that much else. I can say that I was born there.
Oh, dear. So, see, Garda, you got to stop with that. Just stop.
That's like his pastime right now.
I know. It's kind of creepy, man. It's kind of creepy. No need for it. No need. So maybe we should call Caribou.
Okay.
Just for old time's sake.
Okay. Will he pick up?
I doubt it. But then, you know, while we're talking to him, Jason will call and it'll all messed up. You know, I got to start doing that. I kind of miss that. You know, I was going back and I was listening to some old episodes and I was thinking, you know what? We don't call Brian Caribou anymore.
I know.
We need to start doing that again. Because putting Caribou on the spot for a prediction, it was like one of the best parts of the show.
It was. Well.
And then I screwed it all up by not including it in the newfangled, you know, what do you call it? What are you doing? Oh, no.
What?
Don't do it, man.
What?
You're scaring me. You're touching computers and stuff. It always, something breaks when you do that. Corey will sign free autographs on Throwback Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
No.
Free!
I don't think that's going to get anybody there.
Free!
Say it.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, Kevin Lamb. Kevin Lamb makes a good point there.
What's that?
Says, Atari Bigby with the Chargers having a good year. And he is. But it's early, Kevin Lamb. Come on. Atari Bigby is always good for a few hits, good for a few laughs, and then by the end of the year, he's good for a few tears. Don't forget. Don't ever forget.
Oh, I'll never forget.
Never forget.
I'll never forget our first Packer Fan Fest.
Oh, no. Well, that's right.
Tweeting and Mark Murphy looking at us being like, who are those
nerds?
And how do I get them out of here?
How do I get them kicked off the premises?
Why are they tweeting and taking pictures with their iPhones? What is this tweeting thing?
What is tweeting?
But then Atari, back to Atari, Atari is like, Bigby! Like, it was like him. Who is that? Oh, it was Nick Collins, I think.
Nick Collins was there.
Nick Collins was
being interviewed by our good friend, somebody or else. Whose name I totally forgot. So it's all right that Aaron isn't coming to, is Carolyn coming? No, Carolyn's not coming. Family issues, dudes. I'm sorry. It happens.
Carolyn likes hanging out with me and Rachel over you anyway.
I know, but totally. I think Carolyn likes hanging out with most people over me. It's kind of the truth.
I don't. Don't worry.
Yeah, thanks. I know. You lie so well. Man, we vamp very poorly when we're waiting for Wildy to call.
He said he was excited about being on the show.
He did. So. He tweeted it out. And then he lied. Eli, but I know it's bedtime. I know he's probably putting this kid down for bed. The kids down for bed, and we're ruining that. We're trotting on sacred time. Oh, what are you doing?
Nothing.
Did you just hang up on him?
Nope.
Is he calling?
Nope.
I think he just called.
No. You still have Nuglaris in there?
Mm-hmm.
Damn it. I should have never shared
You were
that
drinking,
with you.
Dude. You were drinking the full first. I'm waiting.
Oh,
wow. Now you talk. You talk about how much you love the Packers.
I love Tom Crabtree. I thought that was amazing. I thought that was. I love Tremont Williams.
Yeah.
Two picks.
We got to get him back on the show.
I thought it was a really good game. It was a really great time hanging out at Kettlefish. I don't get to do that often.
Yeah, who was all there? Was it a big crowd?
Matt, Cilantro, Nate.
Nice.
It was fun. It was fun. There was like a whole group of people. They got this whole thing, and it's really funny because they make fun of like the people that are all the noobs that are there.
Right. But you see, that's what kind of what I don't like about it.
Wildy. Jason.
Hello.
There he is.
Hey.
I'm watching you guys saying that you hung up on me in your Crabtree shirt there, and I called you twice, and I just didn't get any. I didn't get any pickup.
Yeah, well, you know how we do here. You know how the technology works around here.
Hey, man, all I can say is just, you know how aliens sometimes come down and, like, attack your show? You know, they pretty much live here in our show, so.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they inhabited Bill Johnson today or if that was really him.
Okay.
I think it was just him.
Let's cut to the chase here because I didn't get to listen to the program this morning. I was on the subway on my way into work. And everyone was tweeting at me about Finley. And then I saw Bill's tweet to Jermichael about needing to fire his agent. So I assume he went off on this on the show this morning.
He did. He went on a bit of a Bill Johnson rant, which, you know, he's done this job for a long time. And he certainly knows how to get fired up about things. And I think that brings a good thing to our show because I certainly am not a fiery kind of guy on our program, so I think it balances us out pretty well. But yeah, he was as intense as I've ever heard him, at least on our show. I think he's had some pretty intense moments at other times, but that one ranks pretty high.
Are you surprised? I'm pretty sure you're not, but are you surprised at how ridiculous it's gotten over this single tweet?
Well. Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I mean, I think, you know, the issue is, and I think this is where Bill is right, is that when you're reading between the lines, the only way, in my opinion, that Blake Barrett would have formulated his opinion on Aaron Rodgers' leadership ability would have been based on what Jermichael Finley has said to him in the past. And as I referred to on our show today, you know, I did that story before the 49ers game where he said that they have a weird relationship, that it's great on the grass, but essentially said that it's non-existent off the field. But, you know, it's okay. We don't have to say hello to each other every time we pass each other in the hall. You know, those kinds of things are kind of the breadcrumbs that would lead you to assume this is where this is coming from. My thing is that, you know, it's great that we live in this era of social media, but I think you have to try and keep in perspective the significance of one tweet that, you know, if it's Blake Barrett's opinion, that's great, and he's entitled to that, as I told him. At the same time, maybe he didn't think through the storm that it would create, and maybe he wishes he hadn't said it. But I guess my feeling is, you know, because then it devolved into the typical thing that happens whenever someone says something that is met with a lot of resistance. Well, then it's, well, I was never saying he wasn't a good leader. I was just saying that he wasn't a great leader. He's not rare. And, you know, leadership is such a, I mean, there's a reason why it's considered an intangible, because you can't measure it.
Right.
And, you know, I thought Bedard kind of hit the nail on the head. He obviously can't be that bad of a leader. He led them to a Super Bowl. But if there's a player or two that feel that way, and then there's other players who don't feel that way, the reality is that the only people who really can speak to whether or not Aaron Rodgers' leadership skills are good, bad, or indifferent are the guys that have played with him. And, you know, I don't know. I mean that on both sides of the equation. I mean,
right.
if he's not a good leader, the only people that would be able to say so are the ones who played with him. Now, they would most likely have to say it under the cloak of anonymity. The problem is that I don't think he's done anything that deserves to suddenly have his leadership skills questioned or scrutinized.
No.
And I think that that's what I think I don't really understand about how this story took on the life of its own, because I don't think it comes as a huge surprise that Aaron Rodgers and Jermichael Finley aren't very close. That does not surprise me. He has always been publicly supportive of him, but I'm not, you know, knocked off my feet by the idea that maybe Jermichael doesn't think that Aaron connects with him the way he would like him to connect with him.
Right. What's interesting, though, is, you know, go back to the field. Aaron looks to him all the time.
Right.
To the detriment of the offense sometimes, I think. I mean, I'm not.
Well, and that's, I mean, to me, that speaks to, you know, you want to talk about leadership. If
right.
you have a measure of a personal issue with a player, I mean, let's say theoretically, knowing how Rodgers is about preparation, okay? Let's say that he doesn't feel like Finley prepares at the same level. And I say that as a possible example from my own perspective.
Right.
That would be my guess on an area where they may disagree. We have never talked about it on or off the air about how he feels about Jermichael. That's totally reading the tea leaves. But if that's the case, if he feels that strongly about him, then wouldn't you think that if he was a bad leader or not a good teammate, then he wouldn't throw to the guy?
Exactly.
I mean, so again, and what I get a kick out of is, and I'm perfectly aware of this, that when James Jones comes out publicly and says it's ridiculous to question his leadership, as he said on Tuesday, you know, that could very well be the truth. But of course, there's the caveat of, well, what's he going to say publicly? Oh, yeah, we win in spite of his bad leadership. So, you know, I just think it's interesting that one person's opinion, granted it's an opinion that obviously has a significant connection to someone who would be speaking to that, created quite the – and it's fascinating to me to see how people react to this. Some people feel like I paid too much attention to it by putting it in the original story I did 2 days ago. Other people think I didn't pay enough attention to it and didn't ask Rodgers enough tough questions about it. I mean, it's really interesting.
That's
to
what
see
killed.
Where
I'm sorry.
Feel.
I'm sorry, but that absolutely killed me when I was looking at you retweeting people, and because I didn't get to listen to the show, I was working. Blah 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 blah. But people like, and then how you wrote the article on it, like you didn't lead with it, and then you didn't ask Aaron about it. It's a freaking tweet.
Yeah, and it's one person's opinion, to which he's very much entitled. I don't know. I haven't talked to Blake. I traded a couple of messages with him today. But, you know, I can't imagine that when he posted that, he ever envisioned. I have no idea how this has played out for him. But don't you think he probably got some sort of phone call from the team?
Oh, yeah.
I would have to think so.
I have no doubt.
So if that's the case, I'm guessing that his one tweet, he never imagined that it was going to lead to that.
Yeah, well, because he was responding to someone. It wasn't like a declaration. Anyway, I don't want to talk about it anymore because I'm sick and tired of it, and I'm sure you are too.
You don't know. You think you know, but you really don't know.
And you never will. So heading into Seattle, big Monday night showdown. Mm. Jason Wilde, for the first time since 2010, I'm picking the Packers to lose.
Really? Wait a minute. So you've never – when was the last game you picked them to lose?
It was back in 2010. I think it was at Detroit, the game where Rodgers went out at the end of the first half.
I've picked them to lose more than that, but I do remember picking them to lose to the Jets and a certain quarterback not named Matt Flynn sent a text message to inform me that he had noticed that.
Really?
And,
nice.
He said it put me on the list. So
oh, nice. Well,
I'm glad that we can provide motivation because I'm not sure that I'm not going to pick against them either.
I just think it's a perfect storm. It's the type of defense they've had trouble with. This is 3 weeks in a row. They're going to face a really tough secondary that keeps their safeties back and tells them, come on, run the ball. And I just
Rodgers said they play a lot of one high. That's what he said
today.
They
did. Yeah, they did against the Cowboys. I'll bet you $1 million they don't do it against the Packers.
Well, and that was what I asked him, and we had this kind of conversation with Tom Clements the other day too. I mean, I am certainly not a defensive mastermind. I'm not a mastermind of any sort.
Come on, Jason. Come on.
Trust me, I'll put Paula on to reassure you of that fact. But
nice.
By the way, I'm not even a mastermind of bedtime. I told you that I had a push to 8:45, and I literally laid Sydney down at 8:44.
Well done. So you were like the commercial, the Monday Night Football commercial. That's not how the story goes. That's how it goes tonight. Sorry. Sorry.
But if I'm a defensive coordinator, I have to think, and this is what I said to Rodgers, and he said that his response was something to the effect that defensive coordinators don't want to step out of what they do. But if I have to think that you go as much cover two as you can, because I don't think it's what's going to – I don't think it's the formula to beat the Packers, but it's the formula to at least give yourself a chance against them. I think if you play one high safety or you blitz them a lot, you're probably not going to have success. I'm sure there are games where that may happen, but if you can rush with four and play your safeties back, you certainly give yourself a better chance against this offense. I think that's pretty clear.
Absolutely. And on the other side, I just think they're going to run it down the Packers' throats. I know people want to give me hell about, you know, how tough their defense looked against Chicago, but the Bears were still able to run the football, especially in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, they were fortunate that Matt Forte got hurt.
Yes, very much so. And Marshawn Lynch is a talented back. So I just think, you know, this is – and then plus Monday night at that stadium, the crowd is insane as it is. It's going to be even more so on Monday Night Football. I just think they run into a buzzsaw. But that's just me.
How confident are you in Russell Wilson?
Very. Very. The one area where they can get to – you know, win that matchup is if they get him in third and long. As I was saying in the first part of the program, I think their blitz packages can get there, but it's a question of getting there. The Seahawks right. are so good at staying on schedule as far as, like, second and four, third and one, that they make it really easy on their rookie quarterback.
Well, that's where Lynch comes in.
Exactly. It'll be, I don't know, that's just me. That's just me talking.
I don't think it's just you talking.
Well, maybe not. So what was how much, I guess, a lot of chatter in the or coming out of the locker room the other day, the James Jones thing, the fallout from Cutler. How much of that even matters as far as the play on the field? Because the Cutler thing and now the Rodgers thing has gotten so blown up, so ridiculous. But on Sunday and Monday, they're going to get back on the field. They're going to play games of football. And none of it's going to matter. I mean, how much of that is just media-driven, and how much of that matters in the locker room, in your opinion?
Well, the only thing that I think that matters is the connection that those players have to their respective quarterbacks in the wake of it. And, you know, I just posted something on your favorite social media site, Sulia, comparing what Cutler said on his radio show, which I still... Like, I love Waddle and Sylvie. They have me on all the time. They're great. I can't believe Cutler does a radio show.
I know.
Like,
I didn't know he did one until today.
Yeah, and they, like, do it. And first of all, they do it in front of a live studio audience. Like, they're doing it at some bar, which, you know, we obviously don't do Rodgers' show there, which I think is fairly intelligent of us. But, you know, the thing about Rodgers is that what I like about him, one of the things I like about him is that he's a straight shooter, and if he makes a mistake, I'm not afraid to ask him about anything today. Like, I didn't not ask him about Blake Barrett's because I was afraid to ask him or because I thought it might make him mad. I thought that it had gotten enough run, and I thought what was really important to talk about was his relationship with James Jones. And that's what I thought was newsworthy, and I thought that he answered those questions very interestingly. In fact, when you juxtapose them against what Cutler said, Cutler never apologized to Jamarcus Webb. And if he did, he didn't want to admit it on the air, which I don't know why you wouldn't. Rodgers, on the other hand, came out and said it today, and I'm sure he knew that James had said so already, but I think he would have said so anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think that the way those guys are viewed by their teammates, which again goes to all this other stuff about leadership, I think that's significant. And, you know, I do know some guys that know some Bears players who do feel very strongly about Jay Cutler, and it's not a positive feeling. But, you know, you'll never see them say that on the record, and that's why, again, leadership is a hard thing to quantify and write about and discuss, because if it's a negative thing, it's hard to get somebody to say it. So, you know, I don't think this is going to linger. I don't think it's a distraction for the Packers. I think the only way that it's a distraction is if it somehow drives a wedge between the guy who Blake represents and the guy he was criticizing. Beyond that, I don't see an issue being between him and Jones. I don't see him having an issue with anybody else in that locker room. I don't think his leadership is in question in that locker room. But I do think that, you know, I want to see, I'll tell you this, I want to see what Jermichael Finley says tomorrow. That's the one area where I think this story still should have legs.
Great.
Because I want to see what he says about it. What?
I said, great. Wonderful.
Well, I think in fairness to him, I think that you have to give him the opportunity to say something, whatever it might be, because one of the great things about him is I don't think he filters things. He's honest to a fault.
Yeah.
And if he comes out and says, you know what, it's my fault that Blake said that, or I wish Blake hadn't said that, or he's wrong about that, whatever he decides to say. You know, I thought one interesting thing that came out of Rodgers today, and again, you have to be able to read between the lines when he talks so much, but, you know, I think there are a lot of people, I know there's some people on Twitter who did it, you know, he was talking about how much he appreciates what James Jones said yesterday, and how much his guys are behind, when a guy stands up for him, how much it means to him. Well, you know, I think he probably was, I don't want to speak for him, but I think he was probably hinting at something that he would like to hear from maybe Jermichael about this whole thing.
Yeah, well, and you're right.
I'm with you. I totally would be happy if it went away. I mean, this is not, especially when we're trying to do a radio show that's 40 minutes long, and I like to focus on the game, and we spend as much time talking about drama. McCarthy gives me a hard time about how much I like drama. I don't like drama. I like storytelling, and I like the story behind the guy making the play. I would never make it in New York and those places where they really thrive on the, oh, here's what Santonio Holmes said about his quarterback kind of thing.
You would make it in New York.
No, I hear if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
I will say, I'm a very busy man, and your show with Aaron Rodgers is the one thing I refuse to miss as a Packer fan.
Well, I'm glad, Ben, you got to enjoy some commercials in the middle of listening to it.
Yeah, I was seeing the tweets about that, and I was laughing a little bit.
We had a little bit of technical
difficulty. It happens.
Happens to the best of it. Happens
to
the show every day.
Yeah, and it happens to your show, too.
That's our modus operandi, as it were. Really quick, I know you're up past your bedtime, so I won't keep you much longer.
No, this is when I just start working after they go to sleep.
All right,
so yeah, I got all the time in the world for you two.
Man, I feel you on that one, man. How shocked were you? I mean, we were all shocked, but how shocked were you at the 4th and 26 fake field goal? And did you ever think McCarthy would call something that outrageous?
I don't know. I mean, the guy said, you know, he ran a onside kick that no one expected. I mean, he's made some brazen calls before. I don't think anything to that extent. You know, I got a kick out of Rodgers telling that story. By the way, Ross Verba in the chat, Greg Jennings is going to play. He practiced. So I can't believe you guys have Ross Verba in the chat. Wonder if it's the same guy wearing the Ross Verba jersey walking outside the D-list studios on a regular basis.
It probably is. Awesome. But, I had no idea Ross Verba watched
the
show. That's great.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I think everyone was. But, boy, it was brilliantly executed. And Alex Talich's guy really, really played that play well.
Yes, he did. He did. Speaking of if Jennings is going to play, I wasn't going to ask you, but now I am because Ross Verba brought it up just for some non-issue BS that we can talk about just to piss him off. Trading Greg Jennings. How dumb of an idea is this?
Well, the beauty of doing a show with Bill Johnson is that you can maintain your policy of not speaking out on other people's work whereas he has no fear. And I believe his tweet was something effective. I don't care who suggested it's a stupid idea. I don't think it's necessarily stupid. I think it's unrealistic. And the other issue is that I think he tilts the field. And I don't think that B.J. Raji, other than down the stretch in the 2010 season, and I know Ted will tell you that the good Lord only made so many big guys and all that, and I'm not advocating that they don't need B.J. Raji, but if you asked me which of those two guys they needed more, I would say they need Mike Jennings more. And so I think that he's a guy that, you know, I think he's got one contract left in him. I think you sign him to a five-year deal and you would get your money's worth at that number, and then he's going to walk away from football. That's my feeling. So if you wanted to spend money, you could spend it there. But, you know, now we've got other complications. If Clay Matthews continues to play at this level, God only knows what kind of money he's going to collect.
Well, that's the thing. You got Clay in the hopper. You got Aaron in the hopper. And you look at the deals that wide receivers signed this summer. I mean, the Vincent Jackson deal is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, at some point, you can't pay everybody. So,
yeah, and you've got Jerry Nelson working for cheap.
For nothing. For peanuts. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
But you know, here's my thing. If you let DJ Raji go, or you – I mean, his cap number for the franchise tag would be lower than the wide receiver number, would it not? Pretty sure it would be.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you let your Michael Finley walk, because he'll be at the end of his contract in 2013, there's some money that you're freeing up. If it came down to would you rather have Finley or would you rather have Jennings, I don't think that based on fan response anyway, that would be a very close call.
Somebody on the live chat just asked, would Jennings take a hometown discount? My fervent answer is no. What do you think, Jason?
I don't think so, no. Yeah. In fact, I'm pretty sure no. If you read the story, you know, I was surprised. I don't know if I did it too early in camp, but that day that I caught him, it was like the second day of camp, and he talked all about the contract. And, you know, I honestly, it doesn't matter to me whether or not it gets a ton of national run, but I thought it would create more discussion at the time. Mm-hmm. I guess I should have advocated that he should be traded or something, because then people would have talked about it. But the things that he said certainly indicated that there will be no bargain basement rate for him. The question is that, you know, he has had some misfortune. His contract year has not gotten off a very strong start.
No.
Does that maybe change his mentality a little bit? You know, it's all about trading money for risk. And you give up some money, but you also avoid some risk. And if you want to sign an extension long before you're hitting the open market, now it wouldn't be long before in his case, but if you wanted to sign an extension before you get to free agency and eliminate the risk of getting hurt and costing yourself money on the market, you know, I'm not a risk taker. I think I would probably do that.
Yeah, you and me both, but we don't play professional football.
No, you do not.
And Brian's right. Raji's under contract for two more seasons. I'm not not saying he's not. I think that, you know, the point is that they have to make a decision on Jennings in the short term sooner than those other two. But we're already hearing people talk about, well, when do they tie up Clay Matthews, who's also got this season and next season on his contract as well. And we're talking about Rodgers, even though he's got 3 years left on his deal.
Yeah, but you can't keep playing Rodgers at, like, you know, top 10 money. He's one of the top three quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's not in the top 15.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
he makes less money this year than Mark Sanchez.
Wow.
Case closed.
Wow. That just hurts my feelings.
All right. We're just babbling now.
You guys are never babbling, as far as you know.
Oh, as far as we know. Jason Wilde, ESPN
Jason
Milwaukee.
Jason Wilde!
Thank you so much for coming on.
Always a good time. I've got my Schmedium on, Jason. My girlfriend has totally... She says that joke all the time. That's like her favorite joke. So,
well, all the credit goes to Al Harris, so I can't take any credit for that phrase. But I always appreciate you guys having me on. Certainly... with all the controversy, I was thrilled to get the invitation for now, as opposed to, say, a week from now. But it's always fun to talk to you. Now,
Jason, let me just make this clear. I'll make it clear right here on the air rather than an email later. When I invited you, it wasn't even on my mind. Honestly, it was not even on my mind.
I appreciate that.
But thanks for coming on in the midst of hell. Anyway, Jason Wilde, you're a legend, as always. Have a great night.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Jason Wilde joining us here at Cheesehead TV, Packer Transplants Live, going a little later tonight because Jason needed to go a little later.
Yeah.
We're accommodating to our guests.
We are.
That's what we do.
As long as they come on the show,
we're fine.
We'll do whatever they want.
Even when they call and we can't hear them.
Nope.
No problem.
Yeah.
But with that said, I've totally lost my script. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry.
We'll do this again next week.
After a Packers win, 2-1.
After a Packers victory, according to Mr. Banky. After a Packers loss, according to Mr. Nagler. We'll see who's right. That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants Live. Thank you, of course, to Jason Wilde for joining us from ESPN Milwaukee. Not to mention everyone joining us on the live blog, even Andrew Garda. All of you, Brian Caribou, Jamie George, John Rahor, everybody on the live blog, thank you so much. You are the reason we do this. Those of you downloading it later in podcast form, those of you watching the replay on the website, you are all why we do this, why this is such a special place for Packer fans on the internet. The only place of its kind where two dudes who don't know anything about football can pretend to know something about football. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next week. Packer Transplants Live. Good night.